Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the NCAA Rugby Podcast. It's been about 115 days since we last spoke.
I hope my maths is right there,
John. Oh, no, sorry, it's not been 115 days since we last spoke. It's been 115 days since the playoff game that took place at the Marine Travel Ground down in Kent. What a day that was. I really enjoyed that. I hope everyone enjoyed the live stream that myself and Warren Muggleton did. It was a great day. Congratulations to Canterbury. We haven't really got around to saying it, unfortunately. We so do feel bad.
Yes, we do. But it was a great day, and what a way to finish off an exciting season. And here we are again, Joe, just a week and a half to go until the new season kicks off.
Yeah, and you've just heard his voice, but that is the voice of Chris Heal, the NCAA's big dog, the big kahuna, the man in charge of a lot of the content that goes out on there. So this is the man behind the words on the ncarugby.com website.
Yeah, feel free to complain.
Yeah, I regularly do. But people might be wondering what the NCAA is. Well, the NCAA is the National Clubs Association. That's 48 teams. That's across two divisions, and it's three leagues. It's National 1, it's National 2 North, it's National 2 South. And it's a lot of fun, is what we will say.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, and we are having more fun, aren't we, this evening, Joe? We're on the road for the first pod of the season.
Yeah, I know. We decided to really push ourselves out of our zones, out of our comfort zones. For those that don't know, the office is based just outside Preston, so we've come down to Lightfoot Green to talk to Preston Grasshoppers. This is the way that things sometimes happen in the podcast world. We've recorded the interviews already. And it's been great fun.
Oh, yeah, it really has. You know, we were at Fylde, I think it was March, April time, towards the end of last season. And
They probably don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, probably don't, because after we spoke to them, I think they won once, or they lost the remaining games of the season. But Paul Arnold, who's the head coach here at Preston, you know, saw the work we'd done last season. He was really keen to get us down, and we thought, you know, with us being based in Preston, but more importantly, because of the season Preston had last year on the return to National 2 North, thought this would be a really good place to start, especially with a fantastic sort of Lancashire derby to kick things off with the next weekend against Sedge. So great facilities here, and the club have been fantastic with us this evening, and it's a perfect way to start the new season, John.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, we're in the main clubhouse at the minute, and it's very warm in this room. Me and Chris are having iced water.
Yeah, well, you know, it's still August. And even though we've had some great weather this weekend, the rain will come soon, and it'd be those October Saturdays in the National Leagues where teams will be travelling in ridiculous weather conditions. So we'll make the most of it, Joe. We'll make the most of it.
Yeah, so we are here tonight to basically preview the new season, look at National 1, National 2, and just generally get everyone back in the mood for National League rugby. We have on the podcast, we have, of course, Paul Arnold. We have PJ Millay. Learned how to say his name.
Yeah, thank you, PJ. He was an old friend of mine at Stockport, which you'll hear about. But yeah, I got his name wrong every single time I interviewed him there. So, Joe, first time.
Yeah, and Matt Lamprey, of course, as well as very special guest. But we'll get to that when we get to that in the middle of the podcast. So we're now going to go straight into our little chat with Paul Arnold, where we look at a bit of National 2 North. And in a second after that, you'll probably hear us going on a bit more about National 2 North in a bit more detail. We're now joined by Paul Arnold on the NCAA Rugby Podcast. Paul, I've got a few notes written down in front of me about you, just generally. Don't be too scared. Today you are one less tooth than you were the day before.
Yes.
Recently married in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Congratulations. Also recently retired after playing 450 games of senior club rugby.
Yeah, I don't know if I told many people about that. But yeah,
it didn't come up much, no.
I didn't think it did.
And you also like sitting on the roof.
I do sit on the roof, yeah, when I'm watching games here, yeah.
So why do you do that? Just a better eye view?
Kind of thing? I think it's a better view. And sometimes when you're down on the bench, I maybe get involved with a bit too much banter with the opposition bench or shout at the referee when I shouldn't do. So I just think when I'm up there, I can play my thoughts, and it's a better viewpoint, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you've been with the club three seasons now.
It's my third season.
This is your third season. Yeah. I mean, where the club was at the start compared to where it finished last season, it must be dramatically different feel around the place.
I kind of not lucky in some respects, but we come in when they'd been relegated, so they were kind of at rock bottom. So yeah, we come in and it was a blank canvas, and we managed to have a great year, sign some quality players and get promoted, and then yeah, we kind of kicked on from there now.
Yeah, because I mean, we were just talking to Matt Lamprey before, but I mean, you weren't at the start, at the end of the first half of the season, where was it, like fourth from bottom or something like that? Or, and then to contrast that to the end of the season where it was seventh, I think, overall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Last season was was good. Like we said, we set a target of 65 points to try and make sure we stay in, and then we see where we was, and to finish on 90 was fantastic. And the lads really kicked on after Christmas, and we had a real slow start, winning one out of our first six. And again, looking forward, there's no actual easy games in this league at all. So even Peterborough away, who got relegated, they beat Chester at home, and we won with the last play of the game at their place. So, and that was when we was on a good run. So you just, there's no easy games.
And you talk about that, Hull Ionians just after Christmas, was it? Or yeah. During the new year, that was probably a game that everyone who follows the National Leagues probably would have put the money on the eventual league winners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think we really turned up that game, and we'd been kind of, we didn't play well the week before. So I think I'd give them a bit of a rocket in the week, which I'm known to do every now and again, and it got the response, and then that's where we kind of kicked on a bit from there.
Is that something, obviously those results are great, but we said to PJ before that there's sometimes a press and you have those narrow defeats which could be turned into wins. Is that something you want to change?
Something we're looking at. Yeah. I think we was in a position four or five times last year, and we ended up losing in injury time, which is frustrating, and there's enough experience in that team to make sure we can see games out. So, and the second half of the season we got better at that. Yeah, there was quite a few tight ones. Huddersfield winning by 12 points with 4 minutes to go and lose by two. So they're games that we shouldn't have lost. So yeah, that's a big work on for this season coming up.
And does last season give you such a good platform now to build on? Because I've seen you say that you've kept about 98-99% of the squad from last year, plus some great additions, you know, Chris Taylor, Dorrington Brothers, etc. That must give you a great platform going into this season.
Yeah, it does, but also you can have that second season syndrome where teams go up. If you look at Caldy, their first season in National One, they did really well to get relegated the second. A lot of teams do that because they know all about you. And I think sometimes, which I've let the lads know, I think some a little bit of complacency. So at the weekend we were very poor against Rotherham, and I said if we play like that we'd be bottom four, never mind looking at top five. So we've got to make sure we iron out a few things first.
Is those the standards you set though now? Because you know Rotherham, National One Club, recently a Championship as well. Is that the standards you guys are looking to set all the time?
We want to be competitive every game, and the lads know that. So there's a time for laughing a joke. I'm trying to make them, and I'm one of the biggest jokers probably, but I'm trying to, with there's times where I think we've been a bit lax. I think the first half of pre-season, our first month, was really well in July. We trained really hard. We got a lot of extra running in the legs compared to the season before, especially after having a slow start. We kind of identified that. Alex Hurst, his strength and conditioner, has done a fantastic job getting the lads, and then August was just very disjointed, and I'll probably take a bit of blame for that because I went on holiday as well. So, but you can't really control if lads have got kids and stuff and they have to go on holiday in the summer holidays. But as a coach, it's just very frustrating, and I'm sure I'm one of the 48 in the National Leagues who are feeling exactly the same, frustrated. But big chance tomorrow, big game against Blackburn to put things right.
Yeah, in the Lancashire Cup. And we're actually going to just look ahead a bit to the new season. Yeah. Whilst you're here with us, we're going to talk about, obviously there's four new teams in the league. We've got Loughborough, Scunthorpe, Hull and Luctonians. Luctonians, a very long trip away for everyone.
Horrible trip.
I think literally middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and they're always tough to beat because that's what I mean. You've got a big turf, they've got quite a hostile crowd as well. I remember playing there, so there's no easy games, and that's the kind of the frightening thing. I think it could be like last season, where someone could lose maybe seven or eight games and still go up, because I think it's that competitive, and I think that'll probably definitely happen. And even like Sheffield Tigers and stuff like that, where they were scrapping near the end, tough place to go, and a very good side who are coached very well. So you can't really pick any side out, I don't think. I think Fylde would be up there as favourites with Caldy and Loughborough for myself, and Sedgley with Scott Barrett coming in. I've got a great setup, but then you never know what your Stourbridge is, your Hinkley. They're just mixed teams who can all do well. So yeah, it's going to be a tough season, but a great one as well.
Yeah, I mean, for you and Fylde, it's a special year because both teams are celebrating big anniversaries. I mean, I've got it written down here, Fylde 100 years and Preston 150 years. Yeah. I mean, you play each other in the second week of the league season.
Yeah, it was great last year. I think we had 3,000 on here. We had around the same at Fylde at Christmas. It's just great for North West Rugby, and we need us all doing well. So, yeah, there's obviously the rivalry between the clubs. And I know both clubs very well.
I was going to say, it must be special for you, though.
Yeah, but they're the games that, especially as a coach, you want to be involved in. It was 1-1 last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how we go this year.
Do you really get up for those games just because of the connection, obviously?
I think on Saturday was obviously I never played in the final games last year. Oh, sorry, I was on the bench at home. But yeah, I think as a player as well, they're the ones that you should be getting up for.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to do much talking. I think as a coach now, that like even on Saturday, I was getting frustrated almost watching the lads warm up, because they're the games you want to play in the against a team who are in a higher league. You want to make an impact, try and put yourself out there and show people what you can do, especially coaches in pre-season. So yeah, so I think that'll be one for me this year, just sitting on my hands in the changing rooms, getting
and on the roof,
and on the roof, making sure I don't jump at the back. But yeah, so it'll be good. They'll be good games.
I mean, we saw the crowds come down for both games last year, and obviously the one just before Christmas is extra special. So, just does that have the added element to how competitive this league is, that you're going to get these sort of crowds down? And yes, Fylde, you'll draw more people, but this league is so unforgiving. Every person wants to come and watch.
And to be fair to this club, the first season I took over when we was in the Premier Division, and then obviously last season, we had an away supporters bus at every game. Yeah. We have the 1869 club who support the club, they'll sponsor, they help out, and yeah, they're just a great bunch. So like, to have a club who takes a supporters coach away in this league is kind of unheard of. So and they are a special bunch, these lot.
Yeah, and just back to the playing side of things, I think I've read, is it two more sessions or three more sessions before?
Basically two more. So that's it. So we've got Blackburn tomorrow, then we'll give them Thursday night off, and we've got no game this weekend, and then it's two big sessions before we go into Sedgley.
And great fixtures to start the season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Fylde and Sedge, two of my old clubs, so and two of my closest friends coaching both. So they're the things you want to be challenging yourself against. And yeah, I was saying before, we have a little WhatsApp group with Chris Brierson, who's now an assistant coach and still playing at Fylde, and Scott Barrow, who's the head coach at Sedge. So none of us are giving anything away. We're kind of more disappointed with Saints losing the Challenge Cup final on Saturday.
I was actually going to ask about that.
Yeah, I don't know what was more depressing, watching us against Rotherham or going home and rushing home on Sky Plus without finding out the score to watch it and really compound one night. But at least I managed to watch England after that against Ireland, so that cheered me up.
Yeah, that was pretty good in the end.
And then the cricket as well, eh? I'm good with cricket.
What a weekend of sport, unless you're St Helens.
Yeah, St Helens are a Hoppers coach. Yeah. Yeah. Cheers for that. Right,
it was a mix in the end, wasn't it? But yeah, we've written down three league fixtures that we think are going to, like, the biggest ones, would you say, the opening weekend, Chris?
I think they're the most interesting ones, as you said before, Joe, some new clubs coming in, obviously Preston Sedge we've mentioned there, but obviously your old club, Paul Fylde, Scunthorpe, you mentioned Scunthorpe, a sort of a unknown entity. Yeah, were they in the same league as you? It's some sort of an unknown entity.
We don't know anything about them, really. Obviously they've done well to go down, bounce straight back up, so like I said, there's going to be no easy ones.
And you mentioned Tink League as well. They're going to be up there, Coley going to be up there. Yeah. So, like you said, it could be maybe 8-9 teams all battling out for those sort of top two places.
That's why I think it could be one of them leagues where you'd lose 6 or 7, but still get promoted at the end of it, or be in contention.
Yeah. So, and just finally from me, in terms of aims going forward, is it just game by game? Is it, or do you sort of?
Yeah, no, we kind of break our season up into blocks of like each month. So we've got targets for our first four games that we'll want to hit, and that's what we're going to go over in our review meeting tonight. And the targets improve on last year. So ideally, we want to be in that top six, top five, and improve on our points total from last year. So, and I think anybody will say that. I don't think you're going to have anyone just come out and say we want to win the league or we want to finish second. In fact, it's probably a bit of a poison chalice, National One, at the minute, the way the money's being spent and the teams in there. So yeah, we want to do as high as we can again in this league.
Paul Arnold, thank you very much for coming on the NTR Rugby podcast.
Keep up the good work.
So great to hear Paul's thoughts ahead of Preston's second season, their second season back in National 2 North. Now myself and Chris are going to delve a bit deeper into some of the new teams in the league. Of course, we talked a bit about Scunthorpe and Loughtonians, but we're going to talk a bit about Loughborough and Hull. Loughborough, National One, relegated last season. They were fighting on two fronts, I mean, we always say it, but they had that Buck Super Rugby and they didn't do too great in that, and then on top of that they got relegated National One. I mean, what do you think their main goal is this season?
I think it's sort of re-establishing their principles a bit, if that makes sense, because we know how good they are as a university in bringing these players through the pathway. And you've done an interview, Joe, with their new director of rugby and head coach for this season, and Rhys Edwards. You know, he's someone who, I've been reading your article, Joe, is so switched on. He's so committed to the program there. He seems to live and breathe it. And for him now to take on sort of this role with the university and the sort of the first team of Loughborough students, as well as his work with the women, it seems sort of the right fit, if you ask me. So he will have his ideas. Loughborough will be very keen to bounce back because they're a National One club for quite a while. So I think they'll be there or thereabouts at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where I've had conversations with other players that maybe suggested that they think that maybe the best way for them to go is book Super Rugby. But the thing is, they're in National One at the minute. They can't just drop out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. As much as the Bucks programme is growing and growing, and we know only too well the benefits of it, there are lads who will want to play on a Saturday in National 2 North, as Arnie's just told us, is going to be so competitive next year. It's a league which they'll thrive in, and these players who will be playing at Loughborough will want to play in this league because there's not going to be an easy game. You're not going to rock up on a Saturday and it not be, you know, competitive enough for them. They will really be testing this league next season. So, yeah, I'm sure they're looking forward to the challenge and they'll be looking forward to try and get back to where they feel they belong.
Yeah, of course. And the other side we're going to talk about is Hull, of course. Chris, you did a piece. We're talking about to all the new teams basically that were coming up from the Midlands,
yeah,
the Premier Division. Sorry, Hull gave you quite a good feel, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think 4 years ago when I first started reporting on this league with Stockport Joe, they were in the league. And speaking to Gary at the club, Gary Pearce, he said they've been on a bit of a journey since then. They've had to re-establish themselves, being a sort of a different sort of vision for them. You know, 4 years is a long time, and he said they're competing alongside obviously Hull Ionians, who are now a National One club again, but they're also competing with the two massive rugby league teams in Hull KR and Hull FC in terms of player recruitment, which is the best pathway for them. But Hull have done it their way. They've brought in a lot of local lads, and last season they absolutely reap the rewards of that. 119 points, Joe, yeah, in the league is absolutely phenomenal. I think they scored over 1,000 points as well. Wow. So, you know, they'll be looking forward to their return to this division and they'll be hoping to give it a good crack.
And we now have a very special guest on the NCAA Rugby Podcast. We are joined by Tim Haley. And some people might recognise the surname. That is because Tim is the father of Munster and Ireland fullback Mike Haley. Tim, thank you very much for coming down to Lightfoot Green tonight. We really appreciate it. How are things?
They're very good. I've really been known as Mike Haley's dad for about the last 10 years, actually. I don't think most people know my first name, actually.
And now, we've invited you here because this is where Mike started his rugby journey.
Yeah.
And it's kind of where you've had an association here. I did a bit of research earlier. 41 years this year.
That's right, yeah. I came to what was Preston Poly, which became Lancashire Poly, which became UCLan. So I came up here the first Tuesday I could when I arrived in Preston. So I started playing rugby for the Poly, and then I came up here with a bit of a legend from the club called Dave Percy, who played about 500 games for the first team at scrum half. And I found my way to the bus stop, not knowing where I was going, and Dave was there. So that was the start of the association, really, as an 18-year-old.
Wow. And obviously this is where Mike started. Was it always going to be hoppers for Mike when you were living up here and had a son?
Not necessarily, because, I mean, he always came here even as a baby, but he could have played rugby when he was 6, 7, but he didn't actually start till he was 8, and he played in junior nines. And even then, I don't think he started at the beginning of the season. He just sort of started messing around with some of the lads on a Saturday while I was out there walking around the pitch with the veterans. And he just decided one day, I was going to leave it up to him to say when he wanted to actually come down. He just said, can I come tomorrow? And that was it.
So it was never envisioned sort of the journey Mike would go on and would be. You said let him get on with it and see what happens.
I thought he'd be a good rugby player, but I just didn't want to push him, really.
Right.
So I pushed his older brother, who turned into a musician when he was about 13. So I thought I'd just let, you know, evolution do its bit, really.
And it must have been a very proud 12 months for you, obviously, Mike, having his child, but also going on to represent Ireland and moving over to Ireland. I mean, was that a big decision for him?
Oh, huge decision. Very big one, because obviously you know you're moving country. He'd got a home. He had got a partner he'd been living with, you know, for a couple of years. So it meant splitting all that up. So it was a big thing, but it was. Munster's such a huge club, and when he was growing up, we spent a lot of holidays in Kerry, which is part of Munster. And he always said his first club was Sale and his second club was Munster, because that's where his grandma came from, and, you know, we had lots of holidays there. So he always used to follow Munster, and obviously they were huge in, you know, the early sort of noughties, weren't they? You know, doing really well in Europe and all that sort of stuff.
And when you said that, obviously Sale was his first club, that must have made the decision even tougher for Mike to move, because Sale's been such a big part of his life.
Yeah, I mean, Sale was brilliant. I mean, you know, there's quite possibly if he was part of a bigger club, he just wouldn't have been seen really. But Sale played with quite a small squad, and I think, you know, they were probably struggling a bit on the money side back when he started, and they were looking at the 18-year-olds to sort of come through, and he got his opportunity. But I think when he left, it was the right time for everybody. He wanted to move on. He owes an awful lot to Sale. You know, he wouldn't be where he was without Sale Sharks.
And obviously going over to Ireland and watching him play in such an iconic stadium, that must be, again, an extra special for you.
Enormous, absolutely gobsmacking. I mean, unfortunately, although, you know, we're quite in a highly populated area in the northwest, Sale doesn't have a great support, really, you know, and it really has punched above its weight for quite a few years, but not great crowds. But, you know, when you go over to Thomond Park and there's like 23,000 and they are so passionate, it's just unreal.
And a couple of weeks ago, he pulled on the Ireland shirt. That must have been, again, for the family, and that's a special moment.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, when you're on the bench, you're never quite sure when you're going to come on, but you got on for about 22 minutes. So it was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, he's really looked after afterwards. We went into, like, the Irish RFU president's suite, and he got presented with his cap, then he had to sing for his supper. So
what did he sing? That.
I don't know what the song's called, actually, but I've got a copy of it, I'll show you.
I'm sure he's going to be delighted with that again.
The audio in the podcast.
Because I presume that was one of the key reasons why he wanted to move over to Ireland. Was it sort of his international aspirations as well as club aspirations?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, very much so. International aspirations and also playing for one of the leading sides in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, we'll move back to Hoppers a bit. I mean, what do you have any favourite memories of this club that you could maybe share?
Oh, I've got so many, really. I mean, as you pointed out, I've been here for about 41 years. So, you know, in my early days, you know, it was just great because you just had so many pals, really. I moved down to London for about 4 years, came back up here. I played mostly veterans rugby, really. I mean, there's a few people here who reckon I went straight from the Colts into the veterans team and didn't actually do anything with senior rugby. But I played vets rugby till I was about 49, and I played with a team called the Strollers, who were really famous. They were just a fantastic bunch of guys, and it was just so much fun, really. And it's really all the relationships you've met here. I think the other thing about Hoppers is seeing how it's developed over the years. It's like a model rugby club, really. It's quite unusual. I mean, I started playing junior rugby in Birmingham, and it was a classic sort of club, four teams, but you'd open up the place on a Tuesday night and you'd lock it up and you go open it up on a Thursday and on a Saturday. But this place is obviously like 20, well, not 24/7, it's open 7 days a week. The pitch is fantastic, and then it's this community club with all the other sports as well, so it's really, really good. go on.
But no, I mean, obviously you're talking about the club where it is now. I mean, when you think about where it was two seasons ago in the North Premier, I mean, to have the season it had last season, obviously you would have kept up with it. But I mean, were you impressed with how they fared last season?
Yeah, I thought they did really, really well, because obviously they came up. I think they were quietly confident that they could compete, you know, without being outclassed or anything. They really got sort of organised. I think, to be fair, you know, the season they went down, the season before, they were a bit under-resourced. I don't think they gave a lot of support to the coach, to be honest. That was Garth at the time. But they've really sort of got their act together now, and it's a very professionally run first team outfit. I mean, the whole club is very professionally run. But I think, you know, there's been quite an investment of time and effort and resources into the first team, and it's paying dividends. And I think the club's always been really well supported, no matter what league they've been in. But I've been here long enough, you know, when they were playing in National One, you know, for several seasons as well, you know, and those were quite heady days. You know, so there's always been a good level of rugby at Hoppers.
Ghazali mentioned to us before, it's a really big one club feel. He said, you know, away from home, the support the Preston get is probably not something you see regularly for National 2 North, so that must be really pleasing for someone who's been associated with the club for so long.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the what they call the 1869 club, so it's like, you know, the older guys who used to play rugby, and they love getting the coach and going around having a meal beforehand. But they really support the first team. I think the first team really appreciate it as well. So it's a real good feeling within the club, and you particularly see it on match days when you see this, you know, the bar we're in now. It's absolutely packed, as well as there's another couple of rooms as well for corporate sponsorships. So it's really become a very, very popular venue to entertain people and just have a good afternoon.
And do you try and get down as much as possible, Anthony?
I do. I must admit, last season it was quite difficult because I was sort of going all over the place. I was going down to Exeter, Cork, Limerick, Glasgow, you name it. When Mike was playing for Sale, they had quite a few Friday night games. So actually, I could actually attend quite a few of the Saturday afternoon games, which is really, really good. But I was struggling a bit last season. And again, depending on what the draws are this time, I might be a bit absent this time as well. But I'll be definitely here on a Friday night, propping the bar up with my mates.
And it's a special season for the club, 150-year anniversary, you said there, 1869 yeah. club, 150 years. This club just seems to be going in the right direction at this sort of monumental year for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually missed the 150th too, because that was the weekend Mike got selected. So I was supposed to be coming, but I ended up getting on a ferry to Dublin. But know that the club's got a long, long history, and I just really think it's a model rugby stroke community sports club. You know, it's got cycling, it's got cricket, it's got archery, it's got ballroom dancing, you name it. It's just a fantastic facility.
And, you know, we saw the video messages from the likes of Will Greenwood, Steve Borthwick as well. So that, again, just shows how special this club is to some of the, you know, most iconic names in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, there's some great rugby players come through here. And unfortunately, the guys who... I looked this up because I said, well, is Mike's name going on the board? And you've actually got to be playing for the first team when you're capped as an international. But if you were to put all the names of all the players who have come through here and gone on to, you know, Premier clubs and then to international British Lions, there'd be a huge more names on there. But they started here. They started here with some wonderful people.
And just to bring it back to this season, Tim, finally, the club, great year last year, 90 points, 3 points off field. How do you see them going this year?
I think they will be better. I think they'll be stronger. I think they'll be more confident of where they sit. I'm looking forward to them taking Farve the Park when they play them.
Second day of the season.
That's right. Why not? I mean, they're looking good. The pre-season preparation looks very good, and there seems to be a real bounce about the place. So maybe last season it was sort of, okay, we're putting our toe back in National 2. But I think there's a real confidence around the first team squad, and Arnie's, you know, massively behind all that. Very organised guy, very impressive.
Yeah, well, Tim, thank you very much for joining us. Real pleasure to chat to you.
Yes, so on to National 1. Chris, we've got several new teams in National 1, as we have in all the leagues. Richmond, who were relegated from the Championship, but more about that in a second. Hull Ionians, who were promoted from National 2 North. Rams, who were promoted as the champions from National 2 South. And Canterbury, who won the playoff game against Chester in May, all those, that 115 days ago. Chris, we'll start off with Richmond. You did an interview recently with Simon Hill, their head coach, or director of rugby, sorry. I mean, given all the things that are going on outside of their control, they are managing things really well.
Yeah, you know, we always send out an email around August time about, you know, speaking to the clubs, getting all the contact details in place for the new season. And, you know, I did feel a bit, not nervous, but a bit apprehensive of emailing Richmond, because I know they're in the sort of stage of appealing the decision from relegation from the Championship. But I think it's a mark of the club, you know, Kate of the club and Steve got back to us straight away, and Tom, who's coming as the press officer, straight away and just said, yeah, absolutely, we'll give you your details. And then when we requested to get an interview with Steve, they had no trouble at all. Just said, yeah, absolutely, we want to talk about it. We want to talk about the excitement of National 1. And you're absolutely spot on, Joe, in terms of their mentality. They are taking it so well. They're very excited about the new season. Obviously, the frustration and disappointment's there because they've they feel like there's unanswered questions with the situation at Yorkshire Carnegie, which is a whole separate topic. But in, if you're looking at what Steve said to me last week on the NCAA site, he was positive. They've managed to bring in some new players. They've kept the large bulk of the championship players together, and that could give them the edge. They want to be challenging, but they know how difficult this league's going to be, especially what we saw last year. So, so competitive throughout, but they're relishing this opportunity, Joe.
Yeah, I said Simon Hill at the start of that. Very, my apologies.
So many names, though, Joe, on the podcast. So many names.
More names than ever before on the NCAA Rugby podcast, and that probably will not continue throughout the season. yeah, and then we'll move on to Hull Ionians. They were the champions elect with 2 weeks to go in National 2 North, really. I mean, they've obviously had a few changes, though.
Yeah, it's sort of linked into nicely in terms of talking about Richmond and Yorkshire there, Joe.
Nice. See what I did there? Nice. See what I did there?
Professional. Obviously, Martin Wood, he was director of rugby at Hull last year, got them promoted to taking the job at Yorkshire. And you look at the club web, Hull's club website, Hull Ionians club website, and they said it's sort of a mark of how good Martin has done at Hull for them to go, for him to then be scouted by Yorkshire and taken away. And but they're really pleased with their decision and their appointment in Mike Amanga. Rich history, obviously, playing the link with Bishop Burton College that he's been coached at for the last few years at university. It's a tick in the box of them bringing players there from the uni into the team. And I think they are, obviously they'll be disappointed that they haven't got Martin anymore, but this is a good start for them back into National 1 after a couple of years away from there, and Mike at the helm. So it's exciting times for them for at Brantingham Park this year, and they'll want to make a better fist of it this time around. The last couple of years in National 1 when they were there, they were towards the bottom and always fighting relegation. They can move away from that and sort of cement their position, and sort of it like Sale FC did last year, managed to get them away from relegation. They'll be more than happy with that.
Yeah, Rams now, who got promoted from National 2 South, ran away with the league last season.
Ran away with the league, yeah, absolutely.
Bonus points every week.
They were excellent. We had Seb Reynolds on, I think, maybe the final or second penultimate podcast of last season. He was, you know, so excited about where this club can go, and they've just continued. They've brought in a number of experienced lads, but they've also brought in some lads who have been playing well in National 2 South last year. I think it was top try scorer Henry Bird's gone there now to the Rams, and that's going to add even more firepower to this team that were scoring points for fun last year. So even though they're stepping into the unknown in terms of this is the highest the club's ever been, they will be confident. They won't be rolling, letting teams roll over them. So, and I think the same with Canterbury. They've brought in a lot of players from National 2 South who they know as well. And Andy's done a fantastic job there, Joe. Obviously, you know that with going to the playoff last year and seeing the setup at the club and direction they want to go in. So for these two promoted teams going into National 1, I don't think they'll hold any fear.
No, there's no reason for them to. I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, all these teams that have got promoted to South, I mean, a lot of them, their biggest journey of the year is going up to Darlington,
yeah.
And then after that, I mean, what's the northern most? Sale?
Birmingham, Moseley or Sale, possibly?
Probably Sale, yeah.
Yeah, probably Sale.
So, I mean, all they've really got to prepare for, I mean, in terms of travel, in comparison to, like, National 2 South, where we've got Leicester Lions, who've obviously just been moved across to National 2 South, they've got a lot of travel this season, and they've got to go down to Redruth and Westcliff and all those kind of places. But National 1 is actually quite local, really.
Yeah,
overall.
Yeah, but it's part and parcel of it, Joe. I know some clubs will say, well, the traveling's too much for players, but if you get to this level, these are the sort of the trips you're excited about, going to big stadiums like Darlington, going playing big clubs like Richmond. Yeah. They'll be excited by that prospect, as much as, you know, the early start for some of the lads, then getting on the bus or overnight stays away from the families and the friends, etc. You know, it is part and parcel of it, but they have to take that sort of excitement element of relishing these Saturday games week in, week out. So, but this league was so competitive last year, Joe. I mean, just look at the new teams, but some of the teams that are winning, Darlington have been mentioned, they've signed a number of players, and Danny Brown will want to be a lot more consistent. Last year, we saw that in the second half of last year, what they are actually capable of. So, you know, that they will be challenging. If you look at the likes of Olal Thiem and Chinnett, some of the players they've brought in, a championship experience is absolutely phenomenal. And these clubs really are putting down a marker to try and follow Amstel. And, you know, these two clubs, especially Chinnagh and Old Athenians, were challenging right till the very end. I mean, Chinnagh had a bit of a dip towards last season, but you can tell what Matt Williams and the guys have done there. They've put their stall out. They will be challenging this year, no doubt about it. So from top to bottom, Joe, if last year was competitive, can't wait for this season.
Yeah, and we'll look ahead to a few of those games. We've written down for the first, we've got four written down, I should say that first. We've got Cambridge versus Rams, first hit out the season for Cambridge and Rams in National 1. There's a good feeling around Cambridge.
yeah, you've done a lot of chats with Richie over the summer with his work with the Hungary team in terms of the Olympic Sevens. But yeah, you know exactly how much excitement's around that club at the moment, Joe.
Yeah, of course they brought in the likes of Miles Bean, who of course was at South Leicester.
And Joe Tarrant's there as well, who was at Blackheath last year, played for Mantle.
Mayhew, who was at Yorkshire Carnegie, of course, he's left as well. And then Rodri Adamson, who was at Richmond, he's going to be playing his old team again at some Jamaican stage next season. Jamaican international, Rodri Adamson. His mum was born there. There we go. That's how he qualifies. So anyone can't say anything there.
Yeah, great game that, though. What a fantastic game that is to start the season. Cambridge Rams, that will be an absolute cracker down there.
Yeah, of course, the second one we got written down, which is probably the biggest game from the opening round, which is Darlington Moden Park versus Richmond.
Absolutely agree with that. You know, we talked about it there. This Darlington have recruited so well this summer. They spent a bit of money, and we go back to Richmond. They're a club coming down. They're excited by this sort of proposition. They will be wanting to be at the top. And then this game to start off with is an absolute cracker. You know, if you couldn't really, you may, maybe Richmond's versus Old Alfhamians would have been a big game. But the way Darlington have recruited and the way Richmond are going into this season full of confidence and not letting the troubles get them down, going to be an absolute blinder in the North East next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we're knocking around Newcastle the day before. I don't think we're going to make it to Darlington, are we?
Not sure yet, but we'll have to. That's TBC.
Yeah, we can make it down for that game, maybe.
Could well be, yeah.
We've not got plans.
TBC, Joe.
TBC.
We're on the road.
Darlington, hit us up. And the other one we've got, the second to last one we've got written down is Blackheath versus Chinner, of course. Chinner's recruitment has been out of this world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, we get on with Matt really well at the club. We have a good relationship with Chinner, but we're obviously staying impartial because of who we're representing. There's a lot of comments on Twitter about, oh, Chinner are throwing money about here, there and everywhere. But, if you've got the resources and you are as ambitious as Chinner, why not go and have a go? Because obviously we talk about ring fencing so much, and these clubs like Chinner, these ambitious teams that want to play at the highest level, they want to give these players a chance who have been maybe been with the club throughout the season or come from lower levels or have experienced a championship before, the chance to go and play at the highest levels as possible. So for me, as an outsider looking in who loves to see competitive teams and loves to see teams really aim as high as they can, I think, you know, Chinner will be such an exciting team to watch this season, and to open against Blackheath, who have had two, three very solid season with James Shanahan working his wonders there as well. That's another cracking game to begin the season, Joe.
Yeah, of course. And all I'll say is for Chinner, watch out for Lawrence May if you've never seen him play before. Great player for both the Cornish Pirates and then Ealing last season, where he was playing kind of with Craig Willis, kind of swapping out each other every other week. We're now joined by PJ Millay on the NCAA Rugby Podcast, and I'm actually going to take a bit of a back seat for this one because we've got two Stockport legends in our ranks. Chris, just kick things off, mate.
Well, firstly, I'm definitely not a legend. I just spent 1 year there, whereas PJ definitely is. It's great to catch up with PJ. It's been quite a while, PJ, hasn't it? Four years since?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Since the great Stockport days?
Yeah, had some fun times.
Did have some fun times. Coach Journey's back. Dropping you halfway off the motorway. Always dropping PJ halfway up the motorway.
Yeah. Not at my junction. Just getting me off the court.
Whether that was December time or April when the sun was out. Great to have PJ on the NCAA podcast, and it was a great season for you guys at Preston last year.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, great to sort of return, get the club back up to sort of National 2, where unfortunately obviously they'd come down the year, I joined them in National 3, and that was the aim, obviously getting them back up there and being competitive. And we probably did slightly better than maybe we thought we were going to do. I think the aim was staying in the league, but yeah, really, really happy come the end of the season with where we were.
I mean, seventh position in the league, 90 points. I think that's pretty, you know, you said you probably didn't expect that, but you must have got into the summer with big smiles on your faces.
Yeah, definitely. Probably the only thing is at 90 points, you'd kind of hope that you'd be further up with that.
Yeah,
You know, in terms of points total. It's way above the initial target that we'd set ourselves in terms of a points target. So, we could have gone a little bit higher had results gone out. If we'd have beaten Chester last game of the season and other results gone our way, I think we could have jumped another, I think possibly up to fifth, I think. So, But yeah, all in all, really happy with the season.
Because that's the thing, over the last couple of years with Preston, you've had sort of narrow losses, and that's sort of, you know, taken a bit of the points that you could have got. So is that something you're looking to change this season, to get on those right end of those results, get the bit of the rubber of the green?
Yeah, we had a poor start, truth be told. We lost a lot of games in the last sort of 5-10 minutes. Huddersfield, probably one that sticks in the memory. I think getting off to a good start is key. We want to be sort of certainly in that leading pack come Christmas.
And you said before, PJ, to me, you've been here 3 years now at the club, so obviously you come in as well with Arnie joining the club. How much of an impact has Arnie had since National 3 on this club, do you think?
Yeah, massive. Obviously, it was a rebuilding job to a certain extent. There was still a lot of... The main part of the squad was there. There's a few people left when they were relegated. But yeah, it was kind of just re-energising them, really, and just getting them focused on the vision that Arnie had in terms of the club as well. But the club's done a lot off the field. It's been on and off the field. And I think uniting that and the rest of the senior teams at the club and the women's teams, you know, sort of that one club sort of thing, it sounds a bit clichéd, but getting that one club feel and getting everything right on and off the field.
Does that make you proud then, when you say that's one club feel that you're able to captain this team?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I started here as a mini junior, started my rugby playing here. So, yeah, to captain the club, his career's sort of come full circle. And, I've been retiring for the past 3 years, but, just can't let it go. So, it's great. It's a massive honour to captain the club, yeah.
And just looking ahead to the new season now, only just over a week and a bit away now. I know you played Rotherham last weekend or the weekend?
Yeah, Saturday just gone.
And how's pre-season going for you guys at the moment?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's it never gets any easier. I'm still many, many, many pre-seasons. Still don't like them. It's gone well. I think the squad's in a very, very good place. We've got a couple of longer-term injuries in Ogun Mbaya and James Goff, who both got similar injuries with Achilles problems, but hopefully they're coming back fairly soon. But yeah, no, the squad's in really good shape. I think we've probably got more strength in depth than we had last year. A lot of the younger lads have sort of had that taste of National 2 rugby now, and hopefully that experience will do as well this time round.
Because I've seen Arnie mention, I think it was after the Rotherham game, that you've been able to keep a strong core of these players together for this season whilst adding a few more, so that must be really pleasing and exciting for you guys.
No, it is, yeah. I mean, it was a tough test. Rotherham was a really tough test. We didn't cover ourselves in glory, I don't think, but sometimes that happens in pre-season. And
did he get ahead? Did he come off injured? I read today, or
yeah, I got I came off slightly, with a bit of a stinger on my shoulder.
Just like Arnie's just had a look over.
Yeah, a bit of a big hit on the shoulder, and just rattled the body a bit. So I'm having a bit of a rest, which is. I was really hoping to feature tomorrow night. It's another one of my former clubs,
Blackburn.
So I was really hoping to feature. I'll be here watching from the sidelines, so I'll still be here cheering along.
And just finally from me, PJ, we talked before, 7th in the league, 90 points, 3 points off Fylde as well last year. So what's the aim for you guys going forward this season?
Yeah, I think it's obviously we've just got to look to continually improve. So we'll take that as a benchmark now. That 90 points, we want to probably 100 points would be the obvious sort of target from there. And I think if you get 100 points in the league, then you're going to be there and thereabouts. You're going to be in that top five. Probably quite a big target to set early on. But as I said, we want to be there and thereabouts come Christmas, and maybe reassessing the targets for the year after. You know, if we're in a really good place at Christmas, then maybe reassessing and saying, well, actually, we can push on and beat that initial target.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, PJ, great to catch up with you, and all the best for the season.
Thanks very much.
Thank you to PJ for that little chat there. I mean, we'll move on to National 2 South now. The new teams are Esher, who are relegated from National 1, Sutton and Epsom, Bournemouth and Westcliff. Esher now under new management with Peter Winterbottom. I mean, they're probably going to challenge on their first season down in this league.
I mean, you like to think so. They were such an established club in National 1. But there's been a lot of change, Joe. Obviously, Peter's one of them, but they've brought in, I think, 23, 24 new players for this season. So it might take a time for them to bed in. But similarly to what we said about Loughborough, who've come down from National 1 into National 2 North, they feel like they're a National 1 club. I know Isha was saying before the end of last season, they want to bounce back into National One into the third tier of English rugby where they belong. So, yeah, they'll be hoping to challenge you.
Yeah, of course, Sutton and Epsom, and I think Westcliff is their first hit outs in the NCAA.
I'm not too sure about both. I'm pretty sure it may be Westcliff. I'm not too sure about Sutton and Epsom. But, yeah, those are two sides who I've certainly not seen in the National League since I've been reporting on them. Sutton and Epsom, we managed to get a chat with them at the end of last season. You know, won the league on the final day. I think it was a 38-31 victory in the end, but finished on 102 points. I think they were so consistent in that league, 14 straight games unbeaten, and they'll be relishing this challenge. They weren't even thinking about getting promoted this time last year, so they'll be relishing the challenge. And in terms of Westcliff, exciting times for them. I mean, they played Barnstaple in the, I think that's how you say it, Barnstaple. Yeah, in the playoff, who were obviously been in National Leagues the last couple of seasons. And for Westcliff to dominate the game like they did, they'll be excited coming into this league. And obviously Jacob Ford, a face that people, a surname people will know well, is they'll be looking forward to this. And, it, you know, I think the challenge is what they're looking forward to the most. They will, again, give a good account of themselves. So for both of those clubs, they'll be looking forward to the National 2 South season.
Yeah, of course, Bournemouth have come up as well. I mean, that's going to be a long old trip for away teams.
I think they set their stall out as well last season, Joe. I think it was 25 wins from 26. I hope I've got my stats there. And again, they had a disappointment 2 years ago of losing the playoff to Guernsey. And they, rather than, you know, being sorry for themselves, being down and disappointed, they just cracked on last season, and it showed. They absolutely won the league at Canter. And yes, it will be a long trip for those clubs, but I think Bournemouth will be relishing the fact of getting these teams down to their place and giving it a good go. And I think they're probably in the same boat with Sutton and Epsom and Westcliff. They won't be fazed by it. They'll be just looking forward to the challenge rather than thinking, yeah, survival needs to be the first day. And they'll be just looking forward to playing in these games week in, week out, which we know is going to be really competitive.
Yeah. Now on to the four highlighted games we've got down in front of us. Redruth versus Esher, partly because, of course, Esher are down back in National 2 South, but partly because of the Redruth's kind of the recruitment they've done in the off-season. They've signed the likes of fly half Fraser Honey from Plymouth, who won the County Cup with Cornwall.
Being very consistent for his previous club, so yeah, great addition for them.
Yeah, of course, and obviously Esher, we do kind of expect them to have a strong season down in National 2 South. Tunbridge Juddians versus Leicester Lions. Of course, Leicester Lions moved from National 2 North down into the South. I'm sure they're just going to get on with it, but it must be a bit of a kick in the teeth for them.
Yeah, I think at the time the club released a statement and they were saying, you know, they were disappointed, but then I think they turned it around and said, actually, no, this is a new challenge for us. You know, we're going to try it. You know, it's not something we probably wanted to do, but going into it now, they're thinking, well, let's just deal with it and let's just have it crack on. I mean, Gareth Collins is coming to the club this year. They've brought in a couple of new faces from both National 2 North and National 2 South, so it's, you know, they've got a mix of experience in there. So we just, you know, last season it was tough to see someone like Birmingham Solihull go into National 2 South. So for Leicester Lions, who have been in National, you know, they've been in National 2 North for a while, to see them move into National 2 South will be very, very interesting. And that first game against the Tunbridge Juddians side, Joe, who've been excellent the last two seasons since they gained promotion, I'm sure they'll be wanting to challenge for a top two place again.
Yeah, next up is Henley versus Sutton and Epsom. Of course, Sutton and Epsom, another one of those new teams that we've just talked about. Against Henley, who are very well established in National 2 South. I mean, they were one of the strongest sides last season, as I remember.
You know, they were one of that group of five teams, Joe, that they got 100 points. And again, I mean, they started the season pretty slow, but they just pulled a great run of results together. I think in the end they've got 120 points, if I'm saying so. They've got a really young squad that we've seen in pre-season. I think maybe because some of the more experienced lads are away on holiday, etc. But in pre-season they've got a lot of young players, and there seems to be an exciting group of players emerging there. So again, they'll be looking to build in the right direction because they will want to try and get them back into National 1 where they were a few years ago.
Yeah, and the final game we've got highlighted is Westcliff versus Dings. Dings having a pretty good end to the last season, really.
Yeah, you know, I think their aims, as much as they wouldn't say it or maybe admit it at the start of the season, that they wanted to avoid relegation, because last time they were in this league, they finished bottom and really struggled to string any sort of decent consistency in terms of positive results together. They've got a great setup down. You know, we're at Lightfoot Green tonight, which is a 3G pitch at Shaftesbury Park. They've got a brilliant setup down there, and rugby in Bristol's definitely in the right direction, from the top of Bristol Bears, still in the Premiership. Brilliant season for them. They've got three Bristol clubs in the league in National 2 South, so they'll be relishing the challenge, as I keep saying. That's a lot of this podcast, relishing the challenge, because each team will be looking forward to the season.
Yeah. And yeah, that's kind of it for National 2 South. Now we're now going to move into the interview that we did with Matt Lamprey. Enjoy that, and then we'll be outroing the podcast saying a special thank you to Preston Grasshoppers. And we're now joined by Matt Lamprey on the NCAA Rugby Podcast. Matt, how are things going with your pre-season?
Really good so far. Yeah, it's been a... We had three games already. We've got another one on tomorrow night against Blackburn, but it's been a bit mismatched a bit because a lot of lads have been away and stuff, unfortunately. But about coming together now, perfectly in time for, you know, a week and a half away. So yeah, good.
Yeah, and how long have you been with Preston now? Because you were with them down in Nat 3, weren't you?
Yeah, so this is my third season with Preston. Yeah, the first season was back in Nat 3. Very different ball game there. You know, smaller teams, a lot less, but now, yeah, it's joining a Nat 2 league now. That is very tough, very tough.
A lot of Northwest teams quite involved in National 2 North as well.
Yeah. It's really competitive. It's crazy how over the years, like, it's eventually now evened out. It's eventually, all the same teams seem to be in the right level they are, and as we say, this year, you look at the league and it just, you can't pick who's going to be top three and who's going to be bottom three. It's that competitive.
Yeah, of course. And you probably won't forgive me for mentioning this, but since moving to Preston, you've got over the try line a few times. I mean, I don't even know how to ask a question from this, because it's just... I mean, I'm guessing you quite enjoy scoring tries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just is a given, yeah. I mean, it's behind a really good scrum. I mean, I get a lot of good front football from a scrum, And then picking the right lines at the right time, it seems. So yeah,
I think was it Stourbridge last year, I think, that stood out? It went a bit viral, if I remember.
Yeah, it was a good 40, 50 yards. It was one of those where you start breaking the line and then you think, oh, it's that far, is it?
You gave a bit of credit to the team, but that was pretty much your own work, was it?
I mean, it was a good pass by TD, I'd have to say. But yeah, it put me right in a hole. And fortunately, I had a prop on my inside, and then the fullback was a second row, so I could outpace him.
Again, Arnie's just shaking his head again as he listens. Speaking of Arnie, obviously you've worked with him for quite a few years. I mean, what impact has he had on the club since he's come in?
Yeah, it's good. Especially he's instilled a lot of young lads have come through. I mean, we've more this season than ever before. We had so much competition in places and everything, and it's been really good. So yeah, for me, like I say, I joined him back at Fylde for that 4 years ago, and then obviously we came here and promoted that league. And then last year, I mean, nobody thought we'd ever come top six last year. I mean, especially when it got to November and we were fourth from bottom. So, we just took a few tweaks and we got it turned around and we went on a really good run. So yeah.
Because I mean, you say there that last season you didn't expect to finish where you did. So, is that sort of exciting prospect for you guys going into this year, that you can go up another level, if you like?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, last year we brought in quite a few new lads. I mean, a new 10 and a new 9, who both, unfortunately, this year are both out injured with long-term problems. But yeah, I mean, it does bring a lot of excitement this year, because you just think, well, you know, if we get this first few months right, you know, we put ourselves in a lot better position than we did last year. And so it's a lot less pressure and a lot less worry at the beginning, really.
Yeah, and onto the beginning of the season, a couple of clubs you know well with Sedgley Park and Fylde up first, that there must be special games to be involved in for yourself.
Yeah, it's very weird to have been chosen, like they're their first two that we've been picked for. I mean, yeah, Sedge at home is going to be a really good opening game for us. I mean, they've had a lot of changes in personnel, just as much as probably we have, and yeah, it'd be interesting. It'd be a completely different team than I'd be expecting. And
I think Max is looking forward to coming up against you, Max Ashcroft.
Yeah, he always is. Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping we've got some prop that just slows him down enough from every scrum. But yeah, I mean, main one is obviously Matt Riley and his questionable position.
How many years? How many years is he just playing for?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Evergreen.
I mean, I'm 31 and I don't know how he's going. So yeah.
And obviously this year, it's a special year for Preston with the anniversary, and Fylde also celebrating their anniversary. So that second game of the season, extra bit of spice about it?
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I can't really thought much about it, because we've been so focused on, obviously, first game is Sedge. But, I mean, away at Fylde last year, they played us off the park, and I would, you know, flat out admit that. And they were very strong, but, you know, we've learnt a lot from playing there. We struggled away last year, where at the start of the season certainly, and then picked up. So yeah, we're hoping to take it to them second of the game of the season, and yeah, define us a lot, if, you know, depending on who wins that one. So it'd be a good one.
Yeah, and it was close at the end of last season about which one of you guys would finish above each other. Obviously, Fylde ultimately got there. Is the objective this year be better Fylde?
I mean, to me, it's not about beating Fylde, because at the end of the day, it's about beating everyone. You know, we play every game to win, and you know, I wouldn't ever say we're going to win the league or anything, but you just go to every game and you just want to win. It'd be nice to be ahead of Fylde, but I mean, Fylde are always a strong unit and they play a special type of rugby that, you know, on days when it works, there's just no stopping them. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it works. And obviously the club's massively, well, I think we'll have a lot of people behind us when we go there on the 14th, isn't it, of September. So yeah, it'll be a very interesting day.
Matt Lamprey, thank you very much for being on the NCAA Rugby Podcast.
No problem, thank you very much.
So we hope everyone has enjoyed this NCAA Rugby Podcast. Myself and Chris have thoroughly enjoyed being invited back down to a National League club. It's kind of the start of the new season for us, really. Of course there's been stuff on the website periodically, but because it's been the off season, we've kind of had other things to be doing and getting ready for the Rugby World Cup with Talking Rugby Union, of course, who provide all the content for the NCAA. Yeah, we wish all the teams that we've talked about, and of course the ones we haven't talked about, all the best for this upcoming season. Of course, I mean, the league kicks off a week on Saturday.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I just said to you before, Joe, off air, when we were just sitting here, I was looking out on this great facilities here at Preston Glasshoppers and saying, you know, I can't believe the season's a week and a half away. It just, you know, we're excited by it. It's, you know, if last season was anything to go by, we should really be looking forward to this one with so much anticipation. And I genuinely can't believe that there is a season starting in just, was it 10, 11 days from now? So yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, and of course our excitement's kind of been building since we've been sat here. I mean, talking to the guys, I mean, you just realise how much you miss it when it's not going on. And you know, I remember, because I did the live show on Facebook, and it's just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I've not done it.
I know. It's just, you know, you look at it, you know, every Saturday or Sunday morning, I wake up, have a look at the results, and it's like, well, that's going to be the headline this year, or that's going to be the headline this week, sorry, and that's going to be the headline on Monday morning. It's just, you know, it's just getting back into the swing of things, and, you know, after the first week, you're like, right, here we go again. So we're looking forward to it, Joe, as always.
Yes, so if anyone wants to follow Chris Heal on his socials, it's at @C_Heal on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep.
Correct. I say this quite a lot, and I always seem to forget. Myself, it's @JoeHarvey34 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just hit 700 followers.
Nice.
Not as good as Chris's recent milestone of 1,000 on Twitter.
Yeah, keep losing a couple, but you know, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, and you can find, of course, the NCAA socials, which is just NCAA Rugby on Facebook, NCAA_Rugby on Twitter, and then just NCAA Rugby on Instagram, which is gone from strength to strength.
Yeah, just keeps on improving.
Yes, so we hope that everyone has enjoyed this NCAA Rugby Podcast live, well, not live, but from from live. It's live for us,
yeah,
right,
it's
now
live for us, yeah.
At Lightfoot Green, we've really enjoyed being down here. We hope everyone else has enjoyed this podcast, because it's the first of many this season, and thank you, and I'm sure you'll hear us next time.